Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
It's halftime at UD Arena. Our halftime program today is being brought to you by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the studios for halftime.
Very happy to be able to speak with Fallon Stokes right now. She is an alumnus of Georgia Tech, practicing attorney. We'll get into that. She covered the game against St. Bonaventure Sunday for CBS Sports Network. I appreciate you giving me some time. Let's start out. You do a lot of the women's games. Where is women's basketball right now? A lot of people say it's exploding. I would agree. I think it's been a secret for the 21 years I've been here. But where do you think the status of the game is right now?
Oh, I think it's grown tremendously. Totally, when I played 20 years ago, I mean, I don't want to date myself, but it's been a while. But the growth I've been able to see over the last 10 years or so, I think it's been amazing, especially with the mid-majors. When you talk about the A-10 and a lot of mid-major schools competing, when you have to get the outright or at-large bid to make it to the tournament, I think this season the A-10 is speaking volumes to say maybe two teams should be going to the tournament.
I was going to ask you about the A-10. For example, last week I think you covered Duquesne, correct? What were your impressions of them? Very impressive win. And they don't exactly have the resume of the non-conference to impress anyone.
Sure. And their coach, Coach Burt, he talked about that. But since they've come into conference play, they have totally a light switch went on. And they've been playing amazing. And I think it starts with their defense. They're solid defense, and they have some solid post players, too, that gives them an advantage in games. I call the Duquesne-Davidson game, and that was a big road victory for them. You know, Davidson being, you know, not preseason one of the top teams, but came out the gate in the non-conference playing extremely well and had struggled a bit in conference play, I think, due to injuries. But that was a big win for Duquesne.
One of the bigger wins for this conference, I think, if you look back to the non-conference, was Davidson actually going to Duke and halting a very long winning streak for Duke in non-conference games.
Yeah, no, that's tough to do. Cameron Indoor is a tough place to play. I've experienced it. And Davidson, not only that win, they had a non-conference win against Wake Forest. So I think that bowls well on their resume when it comes tournament time. And then held UNC to 4 points at UNC. So that's pretty amazing. That's what I'm saying. The A-10, it's pretty amazing, and you can't really say right now who is going to win the conference because it's at the top of the league, teams competing, the middle of the pack, which Davidson is in right now and will have to work up. But when you look at the likes of Richmond, St. Joseph's, George Mason, who would have thought George Mason would be in the position they're in right now? They're playing amazing, as well as VCU. And I think with VCU, it's big on defense, and they've been just terrorizing teams defensively all season long.
That's why I take preseason predictions with nothing. I look at it and then I throw it away. VCU was picked preseason 10th. And what Beth O'Boyle has done, have you seen VCU in person?
I have. I saw them against Davidson. They won a road game against Davidson that was huge. So
Tibiasu is going to be first team if she's not, something's wrong.
She is. And she stepped up in that game. It was impressive to watch her. The first half, she was slow in getting a rhythm, wasn't playing well, wasn't hitting shots like she would have wanted to. But in the second half, totally stepped up her defense, and then offense came. She hit some big threes in that game. It was a key reason they were able to get that road victory.
And this is at least how I feel about VCU. They're going to be in every game a chance to win. There are two things that normally, if you're not hitting shots, that's one thing. But if you rebound and you play defense, that's all you need,
games, yes.
I would think.
And that's what kept them in the Davidson game. Davidson seemed in the first half like they had it, and VCU came in the second half and just stole it. So.
All right, well, you are very unique, so I do want to talk about your background. Obviously, about 1,300 points at Georgia Tech. Just get out of the 8-10. And now you're a practicing attorney, and you do a bunch of games. How do you find the time?
I know, right? People ask me that all the
time. Yeah, that has to be the question.
If I can give you my past week, last weekend I was at Davidson, calling Duquesne Davidson, and then I had a trial starting Monday. So I went back right to a trial, ended Thursday, and I'm right back at it again here at Dayton to call this one. So, you know, it's a juggling, but this is my passion. I love watching basketball, calling basketball. So it's easy. It's a good release from the law in my day-to-day job that can be intense at times. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. Right now, as long as I can do it and I'm able to juggle it, I'll keep doing it.
Okay, so you graduate, and then you, I guess, was your passion once you graduated undergrad at Georgia Tech to go into a law school and do that part?
Well, I wanted to be a lawyer since I was about 13. My godfather's an attorney in Tallahassee, so I, for some reason, it was nothing about it. I just thought it was cool to be a lawyer, right? Decided to do it. Did it slowly because I think I needed time to transition out of basketball and the rigor of being a student athlete. And if I was just serious to take on that academic rigor of going to law school. So I went to graduate school first, then started law school at about 26. And went part-time and worked and went to school at night. Did that for 4 years, got my law degree, and then passed the bar. So I've been practicing for a little over 10 years, 10 and a half years now. I was a public defender in Fulton County, probably one of the toughest, the largest county in the state of Georgia, but one of the toughest counties to be a criminal defense attorney, I think, in the country, and just representing clients, and recently transitioned into insurance defense, so working with Lewis Brisboy, a corporate firm in Atlanta. So I enjoy it. It's a balance, but as long as, you know, I'm able to do it and I have the energy to do it, I'm going to continue.
And as if you don't have enough to do, tell me about your Talk to Talk podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a podcast I started over the pandemic because of the uncertainty about where things were going with sports media, basketball. I know I wanted to stay active, and I was just blessed enough to have so many great people to jump on, you know, and I think it's just relationships, people I know from basketball, my journey, and just period, and just meeting folks, and they were just willing to, like, yeah, I'll jump on your podcast. People I went to school with at Georgia Tech who are doing some amazing things right now, whether it's in the NBA, NFL, women's basketball, or just in entrepreneurship or in some type of industry or tech. It's been incredible, so I hope to pick that back up soon. But like you said, it's just been busy juggling everything, and that's been something that has kind of taken a hit, but I want to get it back going soon.
So you do your home games for your alma mater.
I do.
And so give us a little bit of an indication in that conference on what you've seen so far.
The ACC is similar to the A10. They beat up on each other, and there's so many amazing teams in that conference. When you look at the likes, each year they're going to have at least a minimum, I would say, of six teams out of the ACC going into the tournament. But you look at NC State, the turnaround they had from a season ago, being in one of the top 10 teams in the country. We talked about Notre Dame earlier, a key, huge win on the road against UConn yesterday, and with the freshman Hildago and what she's been able to do in the absence of Olivia Miles, I think it's been incredible. I'm excited I get to call that game when they come into town to Atlanta and play Georgia Tech on Thursday. And UNC, I mean, you talk about the teams. There's so many amazing teams. Miami making it to the Elite Eight a season ago. I just think it's incredible to watch the growth, especially when I played, and seeing how dominant that conference still can be with the level of play and talent that you see day in, day out.
Have you seen Virginia Tech with Kittredge yet?
I haven't seen Virginia Tech this season with Kittley, but I called three of their games last year. And, you know, they're amazing. I left them out. But, you know, they made it to the Final Four last year. So they're going to be elite with Georgia Amore, who I think is one of the best guards, or if not the best guard, one of the best point guards in the country. Can shoot, can score, can dish it. They have an incredible roster. And, you know, I just think it's going to continue to see amazing things from the ACC this season and come tournament time.
So whenever I get somebody nationally in here, I propose something. Most of the people don't like it, so I'm going to see if you do. The women's tournament, until you get to the Final Four, my opinion is it's overshadowed by the men. Mm-hmm. A lot of games are on same nights, and I know there are some nights where Stanford's playing at 11:30 Eastern time, and I'm thinking, why? Here's my approach here. Start the women's season in December, push the tournament back after the men, give them their own time, give them their own windows, let them have national media, maybe don't call it March Madness, call it April something. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
I think that would be good, but after I saw like the results last season with the viewership, especially leading up to the Final Four, it was a lot of people watching the women's tournament last year. So I think it's good because you have March Madness for a reason, and I think it's just something that you just can't experience until you watch it. Whether it's on the men's side, women's side, it's just an exciting time for college basketball, period. Maybe moving it, I see what you're saying with the attention, but I would probably keep it because it's just been longstanding. And hopefully we continue to see the growth that we've been seeing in the women's game. And if it's a reflection of what we saw a year ago with the viewership, I think it's the sky's the limit for the future for the women's game.
I still think we need the game at the final in prime time.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with that.
I know that. ABC is sticking it on a Sunday afternoon.
I agree with that, you know, and you see more visibility with women's games, you know, late night when you see in prime time Saturday games competing with NBA games and college men's college basketball. I think it's incredible.
Saturday night we had, and I love him, we had Gus Johnson calling Notre Dame in Connecticut.
And
he called Caitlin Clark before that.
That's it. And when you have players like a Caitlin Clark, I mean, you talk about her, you talk about Angel Reese, who are just really bringing plenty of attention to the women's game, but showing that it's a credible game and people should watch it and it's talent there. And, you know, I think it's COVID, in a sense, it was terrible, you know, the pandemic, but I think for the women's game, it's been a blessing for some of these women to be able to stay a little longer, and especially with NIL deals, the expansion, to see some more growth, get some more experience, and, you know, make some money while they're playing college athletics, because, again, the WNBA still has a ways to go when it talks about equal pay and what these women deserve and earn or should get, you know, for their talents, but I think you're starting to see glimpses of it in the women's game on the college level.
Here's something I think the men should do also that I think helps the women's game. Go to the four quarters and go to the half court at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah, advancing the ball. I definitely agree. I think that has totally made the women's game better, you know, and more competitive because, you know, now if it's a nail biter towards the end and you can call, you have a timeout, you can advance the basketball just like the NBA. And the men's game still playing two halves. That's like so foreign to me from so long ago, but they're still doing it because it's a part of their game. But hopefully they will change to the four quarters because I think it makes the game way more competitive.
Anything else you'd like to see change the game in terms of on the court rules?
No, you know, I think right now with the changes they made, you know, you don't want to get too crazy. I know at one point they were talking about, like, moving the three-point line back further. I think that would just totally damage the women's game. You know, leave it where it is right now. But, you know, with anything in growth, you're going to definitely see change as the game continues to grow.
I thank you for your time.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much.
And we go back to
Time program was brought to you today by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the arena for the second half of today's contest.